Hi, this is Pastor and Bible teacher Warren Hoyt, welcoming you to another audio message of the Word of God, which, according to Acts 20:32, is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among God's people. Hi, everyone. You know, I preach every week to a little group in Spanish, but I don't have a group that I'm preaching to live in English, but I like to translate the messages and preach them in English as well. And so today I'm going to share with you the message that I preached yesterday at Pan de Vida in Spanish. The title of it is Facets of Faith. And I want to use 1 Kings 17:18 and John 5:18-20 as my text today. What stimulated this message or inspired this message is that at the Bible study that I do every Tuesday night, last week there were questions. And I love questions. But hearing the different questions people had made me kind of realize how important it was to preach on the concept of faith, because I saw that there were some ideas different ones had that needed to be addressed. You know, faith is super important, obviously. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God, and it says that we're saved by faith. But it seems to me that faith is kind of like a diamond with a lot of different facets to it. And today I want to explore that concept, that idea, and look at some of the facets of faith, especially that we see in these two particular passages I mentioned. The first one's the story of Elijah, and it's in 1 Kings 17. That's where it begins. But I'm going to kind of summarize for you what happens in chapter 17 and 18. It begins there in 17:1. It says that Elijah said to Ahab, who was the king of Israel at the time, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You'll drink from the brook, and I've ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain. And so then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So this Elijah character is really fascinating. He just kind of appears suddenly on the scene. And we don't know much about his background, but he announces to King Ahab that there's going to be no rain until he himself says so. So, you know, obviously no man has control over the rain, right? And Elijah wouldn't have had control over the rain. So this was obviously something God had shown him. He was, after all, a prophet of the Lord. And centuries before the time of Elijah, God did the miracles that he did through Moses. And that was a similar kind of thing. He showed Moses that he wanted to get his people out of Egypt. So both Moses and Elijah were obviously humans like us. And James 5:17-18 tells us that specifically about Elijah, that he was a man like any one of us with his weaknesses and his foibles and so forth. But both of these men, Moses and Elijah, God gave them the faith they needed to do the wonders they did at the proper time. And in each case, their faith and their prayers had a great impact on the history of the world and of their nation particularly. So Elijah, you know, it tells us in James 5 there that he was a man like us, but his faith and his prayer had this great impact. And so that faith and prayer, obviously that's a facet of his faith. But the story in 1 Kings reveals another facet that many people might not notice or pay attention to. Just to summarize quickly what goes on after he announces that it's not going to rain, he announces that this drought is going to come as a judgment. Well, then he has to disappear for like 3.5 years. So the rest of the chapter there, and even the part I read, tells how God told him to go to this brook and he was going to drink out of the brook, and then he was going to feed him supernaturally by sending ravens and so on. But then the brook dries up. I want you to notice that. It's very normal in times of drought for a brook to dry up. And notice, Elijah didn't say, "Well, in the name of the Lord, I command there to be a fountain here," or something. You know, he didn't create a spring there. God said, you got to go now. It's dried up. You got to go. So he was dependent on God. God told him to drink of the brook. God supernaturally fed him. But then when the brook dried up, he says, you got to go. And he says, you go to Sidon. I got this widow woman there who's going to support you. Of course, if you read the story, it's very interesting because Elijah gets there and the woman doesn't know anything about this. God said he had ordered her to support Elijah, but yet she didn't know anything about it. So that's just an interesting sideline. Yet through this widow woman, you know, God met Elijah's need. He actually blessed her as well because she was about to run out of food. But there's another facet of faith that you see there because Elijah told the woman, you take some of that little bit of flour that you have and make a little cake of bread for me first. And so she had to like, you know, step out by faith and do that. And God ended up multiplying that to meet Elijah's needs, but also the widow and her son as well. Of course, you know, I want you to notice they weren't eating steak and lobster. They were eating bread every day. It's also very interesting and curious that during this time, her son became ill and died. And that was completely unexpected. It's interesting, the woman's reaction. She says, why have you done this to me, man of God? You know, you've come here to like show me what a sinner I am, and so you caused my son to die. Notice how common it is for people to kind of think anything bad that happens to them, it must be God is punishing them or something like that. That's a lesson, too, to be careful of that. It doesn't say God was punishing her or it was because of her sins. She just, you know, we naturally know that we're sinners. We feel guilty. Like, if anything bad happens, it must be our fault. But notice also this facet of faith that the man of God didn't know this was going to happen. He didn't say, look, God told me this was going to happen. Don't worry. He's going to resurrect him. He took the boy upstairs and prayed, and he really pleaded with God. And that's another facet of faith, where sometimes you don't know what God's going to do, but you can pray fervently and ask God to do something. That's what he did. And then when the Lord actually resurrected this boy, well, God used that to really confirm to the woman that Elijah was a prophet. She kind of believed it before. Prophets kind of dressed a certain way. By the way, notice she wasn't an Israelite. She lived in Sidon, so she was of another nation. But they recognized these prophet types who went around, you know, in kind of unusual clothing and so forth. She recognized he was a prophet and that he was a prophet of the God of Israel. And so through this crisis with her son and even through the crisis of famine, God verified to her that Elijah was his messenger, while at the same time, you know, having mercy on her, meeting her need, meeting Elijah's need, healing the son. And God has always used crises in history, problems that people have, to demonstrate his power and to guide people to his word. He used Moses to do miracles, and then through Moses gave the first or the Old Testament, right? So the people could know this is the word of God because Moses did miracles. And here in this case, this woman could know this man was a man of God because God used him to raise her son from the dead and to multiply the flour that she had there and the oil. But anyway, I digress. When the whole country got to the point after 3.5 years where it was practically on its knees because of the drought, well, then in chapter 18, Elijah presents himself to the king and he says, you know, call for the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah to come to Mount Carmel, and we're going to have a showdown. And if you read chapter 18, verses 20 through 40, you have this famous challenge that Elijah gives to all these false prophets when they come there to Mount Carmel. And also, by the way, he does it in front of the people of Israel, and they just kind of stare at him. But he says to them, you guys have a bull, and you build an altar and you kill the bull and lay it out on there on the wood and everything. And then I'll do that. And we both will pray to our gods, and the God that answers will be the God. Okay. We got to decide who is really God. So he says, you guys go first. And of course, if you know the story, they pleaded for hours with Baal. And they were kind of like these Shiite Muslims in Najaf who every year they have this procession. And they beat themselves with chains and cut themselves and everything. That's what these prophets of Baal did. They slashed their bodies and blood was gushing everywhere. Yuck, yuck, yuck. It was gross. they called out to their God, but he didn't do anything for them. And so then Elijah actually openly mocked them. So that's kind of interesting, a man of God mocking people who believed in false gods. And then it was Elijah's turn, and he killed the bull that he was given and set the wood on the altar and laid the parts of the bull there and everything. But I want you to notice what he said in 1 Kings 18:36 through 39. It says, "At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, 'O Lord God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" So I want you to notice that. Elijah asked God to answer him, and there's really four reasons for it. Number one, so that they would know that he was God. Number two, so that they would know that Elijah was God's servant. Number three, that what Elijah had done, he had done because, not because he thought it up, but because God told him to do it. And God showed him to do it. And then fourthly, that God had done all these things for his purposes, which were to turn their hearts back to himself. It was all God's thing, God's timing, God's purpose. And so God answered, and he sent fire from heaven, and it was a supernatural fire because it didn't just set fire to the wood, but it burned up everything. And if you read the story, you know that they actually even poured gallons and gallons and gallons of water over everything before this happened. So it was really supernatural. It was like something that just couldn't happen. And so after the demonstration, the people fall down and declare that Adonai or Yahweh is God. So it succeeded in doing what God intended for it to do. So this whole thing was a spectacular day of victory, one of the most dramatic in all of Israel's history. But you see, it also teaches us important facets of faith, and I want to draw your attention to those. We've already seen how James 5 says that it was the effective prayer of Elijah, and that the prayer of the righteous is a powerful thing, right? James also tells us in James 1, 6 that if you pray for something and you don't pray with faith, you're not going to receive it. So, you know, we know that Elijah prayed, and that's an important aspect or facet of faith. We know that he had a faith for it to happen. That's an important aspect of faith. That's the manward side of this equation, right? Faith is essential. Prayer is essential. It's the manward side. It's part of the equation. It's one facet of faith that you see in the incident. But folks, it's not the only facet. In the Bible, we see different facets of faith. Let me explain what I mean. On one hand, the Bible presents faith as something God gives us. Like in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." So faith is something at times that God gives. And yet, at the same time, the Bible also presents faith as something that we must develop and either exercise or not exercise. In other words, there's an aspect of it that's of God, and there's also an aspect of it that's from our side. For example, Jesus several times rebuked his disciples for not believing, for not having faith. And he also commended some others, like the one centurion, remember, who said, "Lord, you don't even have to come into my house, just say the word and my servant will be healed." Jesus commended his faith. Now listen, if faith were just something that was totally of God, God gives it or he doesn't give it, well then why would Jesus commend this one guy for having faith and rebuke others for not having it? Nobody could, you know, decide. It wouldn't be up to anybody, just God. He either gives it to you or he doesn't, so you can't rebuke anybody or you can't commend anybody. So what I'm saying here is that's obvious, isn't it, that there are aspects of faith that are our responsibility. If we don't exercise faith, we won't be able to please the Lord. We won't get the things we're asking for. So a person has a responsibility to either trust or not trust, to believe or not believe. So, you know, these are different aspects, different facets to faith. Elijah's obviously considered a hero of faith. And we say his prayer was effective and it changed history, you know, so he had faith and he prayed in faith. But let me ask you, what was his faith based on? I mean, where did it come from? Was this something he came up with, this idea of praying that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years? Or this idea of challenging the false prophets and having them build an altar and him build an altar? Was that his idea? Was that something he invented? Well, I just read to you there in 1 Kings 18, the Word of God gives us the answer in verses 37, 38. Very clearly, Elijah stated very clearly that everything he did was just what the Lord had showed him to do, had commanded him to do. So, yes, he had faith, but he believed God because God showed him what he was going to do. So he was really just trusting in God, trusting in God's character and his word to him, trusting in God's faithfulness. He was a prophet, and in those days they used to call prophets seers. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, because a seer could see what God wanted. That's what prophets could do. They could kind of see what God wanted when he led them. They could see what God was going to do, and that's what Elijah did. He could see that God was going to send a drought, that God wanted to turn the hearts of the people back to himself, that he was going to destroy the false prophets, he was going to send fire and prove he was God, all of that. That was what God showed Elijah. And so because God showed it to him, Elijah just had to trust what God showed him, what God told him. I want you to see, it wasn't Elijah's initiative. And so this is a whole other aspect or facet of faith. It's the Godward aspect. And by the way, this is not an ordinary kind of faith. You know, Moses, what he did down in Egypt, and Elijah, what he did here. These are not ordinary kinds of faith. This is what you call a gift of faith. When you're told specifically something God's going to do, so you just have to believe that. It's not the kind of faith that we normally exercise. Now, I want to show you something in the New Testament that makes this point even clearer, and that's found in John 5, 18 through 20. Let me read it. First, verse 17 actually is important to read. It says that Jesus said his Father was working and he was working. And then verse 18 says, for this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And Jesus gave them this answer. Listen to this. He said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he's doing. Yes, to your amazement, he'll show him even greater things than these. Now, I just want you to notice that. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was equal to God, he said he couldn't do anything of himself, only what he saw the Father do. Now, folks, if that's true, and you know it's true, how much more could Elijah only do what he saw God doing? How much more can we only do what God allows us to do? You see what I'm saying here? Jesus couldn't do anything of himself. He only did what he saw the Father doing. Elijah couldn't do this on his own. He did it because God told him he was going to do it. He just was God's spokesperson, telling what God was going to do. A few weeks ago, I was preaching about faith, and I said that faith was, I heard this from some other preacher, I can't remember who, but I love this saying. He said, faith was seeing the faithful one. I really believe that. Faith is seeing the faithful one. That is, faith is seeing God. It's trusting his character, his faithfulness. So faith is simple confidence in the faithful one, in God, who is faithful, right? So the story of Elijah and the words of Jesus, they show this. They show that the great works of faith that were done by these people, Moses, Elijah, the Lord Jesus, they did these things. They were possible because God showed what he himself was going to do. These were gifts of faith. He was In the case of Elijah, he was going to turn the hearts of the people back to himself through the miracle of fire falling from heaven. In the case of the Lord Jesus, he was creating a new people of God and raising up the church and elevating his son by healing, casting out demons, giving sight to the blind, all the things Jesus did in his ministry. But in both cases, the miracles were to accomplish God's purposes, to turn hearts or to lift or exalt the name of Jesus. Neither Jesus nor Elijah performed their miracles on their own initiative or because of their own wishes or goals. Their faith wasn't some sort of power that they exercised independent of God. And that's the point that I'm trying to make today. Because nowadays there's lots of preachers who imply that the extraordinary should be ordinary. So what Moses did, anybody can do. What Elijah did, anybody can do. We should all be seeing miracles all the time. And we should just, we read these stories and, you know, that what they did, but step out there and you can do it yourself by faith. You can receive anything you want. You can get a miracle instantly, continuously, if you just believe. Every disease should be miraculously healed. Every problem can be miraculously solved immediately. That faith is just something that you got to learn how to use. And so the miraculous can be your ongoing experience if you just learn to use faith. They say that faith is actually a force, you know. There's a force of faith. And you can learn to use it for your own purposes. And so if you'll just pay $100 or $1,000 or whatever and go to their seminar, they'll teach you how to use the force of faith, and then you can realize your dreams. You can get whatever you want, you know. You just have to visualize what you want and then pray and ask and believe. And never stop believing, and the force of faith will actually bring your desire into existence, into reality. And you'll hear them use all kinds of examples from the Bible. They'll say Abraham and Sarah, you know, they wanted a child. They wanted a child so bad. And so they just believed that God was going to do it. And they ignored Abraham's old age and the fact that Sarah was sterile. And they just kept believing and believing and believing. And they brought Isaac into existence, into reality through their faith. And so that's how faith works. And if you just learn to use it, why, you can get anything you want. Whatever your need, just exercise faith and never doubt. You can have an ideal sort of life, and every problem or every difficulty will be miraculously resolved. According to these guys, you know, God just wants to do miracles all the time, but most people don't believe, they don't persevere in their faith, or they have sin in their life, and that's why they don't get what they want. But the fault's not with God, it's with you. If you don't get everything you pray for, then something's wrong with you. Actually, I've even heard people say, Paul and Peter, they shouldn't have had to suffer persecution. Nobody should be persecuted if they just knew how to use their faith, if they just knew the covenant that God has made with us. You should never be sick. You should never go through difficulties. Just learn to use faith. But friends, this is a false teaching. It really is. Faith is not a force that actually makes us like God. Did you know some preachers even say that God has faith, that God is a faith being, he operates by faith, and we're his children, so we have to learn to use faith like him. He speaks forth what he wants, and you can speak forth what you want. But friends, that's just a total lie. God has no need for faith. He's almighty. He doesn't have to believe in himself or believe in his power. He knows. See, he knows what he can do. We are the ones who have to learn to trust God, trust his promises. And the truth is, many times this is difficult. Why? Because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, right? So we often or usually don't see the answers we want right away. We don't feel the special presence of God. We don't know everything that God's going to do or what he wants to happen. See, it's true Abraham received a son of promise, but folks, please read the story carefully in Genesis. You'll see there. That wasn't something he and Sarah came up with and then brought into reality by the force of their faith. Not at all. It's something God initiated. God spoke to him and told him he was going to give him a son. And then he and Sarah just had to wait for year after year after year and keep trusting when it was difficult. And finally, God did what he said he was going to do in his time, not because of their faith. Joseph, you know, he knew that he got these dreams that he was going to be a ruler someday. But he didn't then use the force of faith to make it happen. No, he was sold as a slave. He was thrown in jail. He had to wait for years until God did it. David, same thing. He's anointed as king. He's told he's going to be king. But he has to run from Saul and hide and wait for years and years. His faith had to be in what God said, not in his faith. He didn't create all these things that God had told him were going to happen. Elijah didn't use faith to make fire fall from heaven. Elijah just understood that God said he was going to send fire from heaven. Jesus Christ didn't work on his own. He just understood what God wanted to do. Faith's not a force that we can control to get whatever we want. Faith is just trusting God. It's trusting who he is, what he said, what he's promised. Listen, if he promises something in his word, you can have confidence in that. Like, if you ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive you. If you pray for Christ to come in your life and save you from your sins and so forth and give you eternal life, he will. We can trust that God will never leave us. He's always with us. He'll supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. He'll give us the grace to face every situation. It doesn't say that he's going to make our lives a bed of roses or he's going to give us this power of faith so we can have whatever we want. And the truth is, it's not always easy to trust God. We have to walk by faith, not sight, not visible signs. And many times we don't see anything for years and years. Now, sometimes there's a miraculous answer, let's say a miraculous healing. But sometimes he works in very ordinary ways, like, you know, through a doctor, through medicine, or he gives you the money to buy what you need. He doesn't just, you know, send crows to feed you or whatever. You know, he just doesn't do that. And sometimes, oftentimes, he just gives us the grace and strength to endure affliction or persecution. He doesn't get us out of it. He doesn't provide an escape. We have to go through it. You know, look at the examples of the Bible. Two different times God sent an angel to get Peter out of jail. Two different times he got him out of jail. Now, he had to be locked up for a while, but God got him out supernaturally. One time God sent an earthquake to get Paul and Silas out of jail. But look, folks, those were occasions. Those were miraculous. God also left Paul in jail for 2 years in Caesarea, another two in Rome, and then we don't know exactly how long the third time he was in prison, and then he was decapitated. He himself tells us in 2 Corinthians that he was flogged 5 times, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned once, shipwrecked 3 times, then he was beheaded. Yeah, God got Peter out of jail a couple times, but then in the end, you know, Peter had to be crucified upside down after spending time in jail. So it's God's initiative. It's God's timing. We can't direct faith to make our life what we want it to be. God worked miracles through both Paul and Peter, but yet they also had to suffer a lot and endure many difficulties and afflictions. See, their faith wasn't something they could use to solve any problem. No, their faith was just confidence in God and trust in him no matter what was happening in their lives. One facet was having faith, but another facet was the will of God. Elijah had faith to do what the Lord told him, but Elijah also got depressed and he ran for his life one time and he had to live a life that was overall pretty difficult. Even his successor, Elisha, you know, he performed twice as many miracles as Elijah, but you know, in the end he died of an illness. See, faith didn't make life a bed of roses. People of God didn't use faith to just create whatever kind of life they wanted. So there's all these different facets to faith. There are times, like in the examples of Moses and Elijah, when God gives a special gift of faith for a special case. But that's not the ordinary kind of faith. Listen, do you think anybody else besides Moses could have just said, you know what, my people are down in Egypt in bondage. I'm going to go down there and use my faith to free those people. I'll guarantee you, no. Moses was the guy, and it was only in God's timing that he could do that. Not just anybody could have done that. Not just anybody could have, you know, conjured up the faith to do that. Same thing with Elijah. Israel strayed from God a lot. But he didn't, you know, not just whatever any Israelite could have just said, you know what, we've strayed from God. I'm gonna just call for a demonstration. I'm going to ask God to send fire so that my country, my people turn back to God. You know, no, folks, not just anybody could have done that. Elijah could because God told him it was the time and it was his will, it was his purpose right then. not just anybody can say, you know, kind of manipulate God and say, do a miracle now, God, so that everybody can believe. Listen, if we could do that, I'll guarantee you, buddy, I'd go on and contact the local news, and I'd tell them, hey, next week, come to Ponte Vida Church, because I'm going to pray for fire to fall, and you're all going to have faith in God after you see what I'm going to do. Listen, don't you think more of us would be doing that if we could do that? But we can't. Why? Because faith isn't a force we manipulate for our own purposes. Faith is just trusting in God. Faith isn't something you use to solve all your problems. We're just human. We're fragile. We're weak. And Jesus himself said, separated from me, apart from me, you can do nothing. Our faith doesn't make us superheroes, you know. Our faith isn't in us. It's not in our faith. Our faith has got to be just trust in God. He is who he says he is. He'll do what he promises. He'll always be with us, whatever happens. He'll give us what we need to face every day. That doesn't mean everything's going to be a bed of roses, or he's going to solve all of our problems, or that we can do it by our faith. Listen to me, please, as I close. Please, look. Am I saying that God doesn't work miracles? Oh, please understand me. No way am I saying that. I'm not saying he doesn't work miracles. Certainly he does. Am I saying that we can't pray or we shouldn't pray for our needs, like healing, you know, of the body or the mind or whatever it may be, or some physical need like money or work or a friend? Listen, absolutely not. That's not my point today. God tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He wants to hear our requests. He's promised to meet our needs. That's how he manifests himself in the earth. He's looking for a people who will have faith and believe him and come to him for their needs. What I'm trying to do in this message is I'm just trying to refute the concept of faith that people have, that it's a force. Because you know what? That causes a lot of people to stumble. If you think faith should be something you can use to get whatever you want in life, you're going to be sadly disillusioned. You know, you're going to likely lose your faith. At its core, faith is seeing. Remember this. Faith is seeing him who is faithful. It's trusting not in ourselves or in our faith. It's trusting in God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. I hope this is clear. I hope it makes sense and that it encourages you. And until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.
Thanks for listening today. If you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, I'd be happy to receive them from you. Just scroll down and you can send them from the website directly. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, you can do it on the website by clicking the donate button or contact me to make a different arrangement. Thank you.